good. He's so good. He's so good. I just cannot tell you how elated I am to be here in this place. There are just a few of us in here right now, but it feels like there are a thousand in here to me, because I know not only feel you that's in this building, I feel the presence of so many that are watching and are listening right now. I'm Brother Gary Smith. I have to reintroduce myself to you. Some of you may not know who I am. I'm Brother Gary Smith, and I'm overflowing with joy. I'm overflowing with joy. It's been a minute. It's been a while since I've been physically here in this place and in this pulpit. I have so many thanks to give to so many, this wonderful church, the Fieldwater Church of Christ, to those who've stood in this pulpit, Brother Ray Wilkerson, Brother Roger Mel Davis, Brother Dennis Murphy, all the names that have preached on Sundays, teaching on Wednesdays, Brother Ed Rideau, and others who are teaching and preaching. I'm just grateful. I've been at home listening, getting just my feel. God is so wonderful that he's blessed us with men who can stand and teach and preach the gospel. And many places don't have that. And so I'm just thankful. I hope you don't mind just a minute. I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Amen. To all of the members here at the Fieldwater Church, I felt your love. So many well wishes, so many prayers, so many gifts, so many words of encouragement. I'm just thankful. I'm just so full. I tell you, honestly, I thought that when I after surgery, I made a huge mistake. I somehow thought that in no longer than 6 weeks, I would be at least able to teach. You know, 6 weeks. I was just as I was so wrong, because at 6 weeks, I was still hurting, and I just, you know, I'm thankful that I'm here right now. I'm thankful that I'm here right now, and some of you understand. Some of you that I hadn't gone through. I had a minor surgery before. I hadn't gone through, you know, major surgery, and I just had it all wrong. I talked to a few people, and they gave me some good advice. But boy, look here, 6 weeks. I didn't want to talk to nobody or see nobody. Let alone teach somebody. But God is so wonderful and so good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. I want to thank. I think Junior has a slide. I want to thank. I got a slide of these two ladies right here. These were two of my physical therapists, and they're some special people. They really are. One is on my right is Dr. Lindsay. On my left is Summer, and they were made for their job because they challenged me. They pushed me. I gave them two names. When they were real nice to me, I said Dr. Lindsay and Summer. When they bit my knees and pushed me, I called her Dr. Liza and Sumo. And I told them, I said, you're going to be in one of my sermons. You're going to be in one of my sermons, because I got the opportunity the first couple of weeks. I was hurting so bad, I just was trying to get through it. But after that, I could kind of talk a little bit. And they know about the Fieldwater Church of Christ. They know about the Fieldwater Church. I gave them cards, and I wouldn't be surprised when we come back together that they're going to be in this place visiting us. They said that they would try to come. One of them on the right, Dr. Lindsay, she lost her baby at 18 months, and she's a strong lady. But now she's had another child, and I got to minister to her, and she ministered to me. We talked about all kinds of things. We talked about the church. We talked about the gospel. We talked about race issues, and we had open conversations. Summer on the left, on the right, on my left, she's married to a black man. She's Gary. I understand what's going on in this world. So we got to minister. And I just wanted you to see them, because when they come here, I want you to treat them real nice. Thank God for them. And then the next slide, if you see that sister right there, that sister right there. God gave me the right wife.
Amen.
And she's been my chauffeur. I haven't even driven. I think I drove one time. I sneaked and got in the car a couple of days ago. I couldn't have made it through this. I could say so much more about my wife, KB. You know her, but I love you, KB. Thank you for God for blessing me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we in worship service. We worshiping the Lord. I hope you, those of you that's not here in this building, I hope you're in the right posture to worship God. We know you're at home, but look now, we worshiping God. Now, it's hard to worship God laying flat on your back. So if you're on your back, just go, just sit up a little bit. You're not the kitchen. Stop cooking and stop for a second. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Do you love God? Sing it with me. I really love the Lord. Who will I? Sing it at your home. Love the Lord. Let's hear the children say, well, you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And I want to hear all of you sing, he watches over me. Oh, well, my God, yes, watches over me. And you don't know. Thank you, Lord. And for me, oh yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love him. Stand up and sing it. Oh, well, and you don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh yes, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love. Love you, Lord. Love him. I really love the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. I tell you, I have about 5 lessons today. I don't want to scare you. I have too much. My mind has been all over the place. One of the toughest things about this ordeal was that for at least 2 months, and I know some of you understand, some of you have been through this. I waited till I was 60 years old to have my biggest trial, physical trial. I've had injuries playing football, and I wasn't used to taking, you know, pain medicine, a whole lot of medicine, and I had some dark days, I got to tell you. One of the darkest things was I wasn't able to study the word. I wasn't able to read. I wasn't able to concentrate, long enough to study it up until about 3 weeks ago. But I tell you what, I was able to listen to the word. And I was able to participate in Bible class. As you are, we're in worship, and these tough times we're going through, and we're not able to come together. God is spirit. And one of the reasons why we can worship God even online right now is because we can't see God, but our spirits can connect to God. And even though you're at home right now, we all can connect to God. Because the Bible tells us God is spirit, and they that worship him must do what? Worship him in what? You know the scripture. In spirit and in truth. Yeah, so you don't have to see me. But you can hear the word and still worship God. And I don't get it twisted now. Don't get it twisted now. I know some of you say, oh, Brother Gary, I can just do that. I don't never have to come back together. Come on now. God made us social creatures also. Amen. Yeah, you know the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 or 42, it says that then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching. It says, and in fellowship. See, fellowship is communion. Fellowship is when we get together and talk. It's hard to fellowship when you're not together. God knows that in fellowship and then in breaking the bread and in prayer. So don't say I'm not coming back. You know, on the first day of the week when disciples came together and broke bread. And so when we get the chance, you got to come on back. You hear me? You hear saying, elder? They got, you better come on back here. Now, the elders are leaning on the side of safety, thank God, and being wise men and trying to be wise as we come back together. But you keep listening. We're going to get it together. God is good. It seems like things are changing a little bit, but we're here to worship God. I have so many lessons I've learned. After I was able to start writing and studying, I started jotting down notes. And God, he showed up teaching me something. And I know he's teaching all of us. It reminds me of the book of James, chapter 1, and verse number 2 in the New American Standard Translation. It says, consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. And we all encounter some trials right now. Everybody, not just me, not just you, all of us are encountering some trials. But see, that scripture got new meaning to me now, Brother Isaiah. It got new meaning to me. He says, when you fall into various trials, then he says, knowing, we can absolutely knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance or produces patience, he tells us. He says, so now when you're going through trials, you can have joy. Not that you're going to be tickle pink and not that you're going to be laughing, but when you absolutely know that when you go through your trials, you're going to be better on the other side. That's what it means. And I say, oh Lord, you trying to teach me that? Notice he says, knowing that the testing, in other words, see, there are some things you will not experience until after you go through a test. You can't even get there. That's the only way you're going to learn is by going through a test. And we're in testing times right now. Yes, we're in testing time. We're in a trial. And he says, testing produces endurance. It produces patience. It comes from a word, patience, to bear, be able to bear under. Notice this. You won't be able to bear under until you go through the trial. And notice this. The trial produces you being able to bear under. So there's some things that you would not ever be able to do until you go through a trial. Oh, Lord Jesus. I say, Lord, you teaching me something. He says, you got to be able to bear under. And see now, then it says, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then it says, and let endurance have its perfect result. Yeah, see, let endurance work on you till it gets you where God wants you. Oh, God is good. Yes, he is. He says that, and then it goes on to the end of that verse, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oh, goodness, goodness. And see, you can't experience that until you go through some things. Ooh, I haven't even gotten to my lesson yet. I guess I have. Oh, because God taught me some things. You see. I used to pray before I pretty much always prayed before I ate. You know what I do now? I pray before I eat and after I eat. I mean, why are you saying that? Because I've been through some. See, some of you that had knee surgery, and you say, oh, well, I had that. That wasn't that. Well, God bless you. God bless you. I tell you what, but it got me. I'm telling you. Yeah, it got me and still getting me. Right? Amen. And so what do you say? I remember I pray after. You know why I pray after? Because I was taking that medicine and I couldn't eat right. I couldn't hold nothing down. And I said, Lord Jesus, just give me some relief. Just give me some relief. And Lord have mercy, now I'm able to eat some food. Yes, Lord, I'm able to eat some food. And you know what? I say, thank you, Lord, before the food. And I think when I get through eating, it stays down. My stomach is settled. I say, thank you, Jesus, after this food. Yeah, see, you know what else I couldn't do? I didn't sleep that well. I tell you, you try going 5 days without some sleep. Yeah, you go 5 days without some sleep. I'm talking because I know we're going through some trials. And I remember I'd be laying, trying to lay, in pain, I opened one eye and the clock wasn't moving. And the night just took all night long. So I tell you, when I get 2 hours, last night I couldn't sleep that well just because I just had the anticipation of coming to the house of the Lord. Yeah. Oh, that mercy. But I get 2 hours. I wake up, thank you, Lord, the clock moving. Yeah. See what? And I know all of us are going through some trial. I didn't know, brother JT, I had never taken that pain medicine like that. You know, pain medicine is, you know, you're taking that strong pain medicine, it has you in a fog. And I'm in a fog, my all of this hurting, but you got to take the pain. You can't do without the pain medicine when you first take have some surgery, Lord Jesus. And I thank the Lord that I'm off the pain medicine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise. See, notice this. See, when you go through a trial, it takes you deeper. You can relate to this. It takes you to a place. See, my understanding has increased. My compassion has increased. My sympathy, my empathy has increased. And some of you out there, you sure enough know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it takes you to a place that you hadn't been before, and you wouldn't have been there had you not been through a trial. I want to talk about the coronavirus as it relates to the Lord's word. See, this coronavirus it's a monster, isn't it? It's a monster, but I tell you what, the coronavirus is going to help some folk.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. Yes, yes, a lot of good even has come out of this virus. Some of us are in places, you know, we got some better husbands now. Your children know your name now. We got men who are babysitting their children. Now you understand better how your wife feels when she's at home all the time. Yeah, it's taking us to a deeper understanding, a deeper appreciation for all things. Yes, count it all joy. Lord have mercy. You see, the joy can come. See, now notice this. The joy, part of the joy comes through after you go through the trial. You're going through the trial and you're realizing that God is shaping you. He's shaping, but the fulfillment of our joy comes when the trial is over. And you can say glory, hallelujah. Yeah, one of our other young men, brother Sherwin Johnson, he's having surgery on Tuesday the 9th. He's having surgery on Tuesday the 9th. And he called me. And by the way, thank y'all. So many cards. Oh, Lord have mercy. My wife, she actually read to me every card. She read the cards to me, and many of them brought tears to my eyes. And Brother Sherwin called me, and he said, "Well, Gary, he called me too early one time. I couldn't talk at that time. And he says, I'm having surgery. I need to talk to you. And guess what, church? I had a talk with him. Yeah, I had my talk. I know your talk might be different. Like, oh man, it's a breeze. You're gonna be all right. And I had a real talk with him. I just told him my experiences, told him the roadblocks, the thing. Now, how could I talk to him? How could I tell him? I could talk because it's a different talk than you haven't been there. Oh, yeah, man, I heard about it. They tell me that. No, they don't tell me nothing. I can tell you what happened. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and some of us are going through our trials right now to be able to help somebody in the future. So don't fight your trials, Lord. Now, I'm not saying, if you don't never have to have surgery, praise the Lord, don't have it. And if I had to do it again, Lord, some days they say, well, you're going to be glad you had that surgery. I tell you what, I'm not even still glad yet. I might be glad later on, but I'm not glad just yet. God is good. Everybody all right? Everybody all right? You got a drink of water and you're sitting in your bed. You got your kids. I love the children. I'm so full because I had to figure out a way for the Lord to minister to me when I couldn't read the word. So I got a stationary bike and I put it in the garage and I used to listen to songs. Oh, worship songs. There's a song, Brother Arzell. He tried to sing it a couple of times. We know it, but we don't know it that well. And I don't, it's a song that's, it's called I Give Myself Away. It goes like, if those of you in here that can sing it, Brother Arzell, let's try to teach it to, now get your kids and you sit up on your bed and sit up on your chair and let's try to learn this song. It goes, I give myself away, hey, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, hey, I give myself away so you can you. Listen to this verse. Here I am and here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see. Sing it with me. Your desires reveal in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Sing it, church. Hey, I give myself away so you can use. The next verse. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. As all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Let's sing it again. Oh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Last verse. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful. Let's sing it again. Sing it again. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful to me. I give myself away.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Amen. That song ministered to me. And I thank you, Lord. If you wanted to give the rest of this lesson a title, it would be Questions for God. Questions for God. A young lady literally asked a question. She sent word through my wife, I think perhaps in the first or second week of my illness when the coronavirus had started and people were dying. And she said, Sister KB, could you tell Brother Gary to send me some scriptures on the coronavirus? Young lady, she's maybe 13 years old. On the coronavirus, I'm struggling with some things and I need some scriptures. And my wife relayed a message to me. But at that time, I was in darkness. I couldn't respond. And it touched my heart because it stayed on my mind. And I think Karen tried to minister to her as well as she could. But I told her to make sure she's not a member of this church. And I said, you make sure that She's worshiping with us this morning, and I think that she is, and not just for her, but all of us got some. Don't you have some questions? You know, sometimes we have questions, and there's nothing wrong with asking questions. If you don't know, you ask. And I thought I would answer some questions. One of the questions she implied was, "What's going on? What's going on in the world?" And that's a good question. I won't have time to finish all of this, but I want to put it in perspective. For all of us, I've heard some wonderful sermons and lessons that have been Brother Ray and Brother Raj have ministered to me in preaching and teaching the Word of God that answers these questions. Amen. But you know, global occurrences are not new to the Scriptures. Amen. And see, some of this we need to be grounded. We need to ground and we need to learn and know what the Word of God. Racism, injustice, they've marred world history. Even throughout the Scriptures. For instance, in James chapter 5, verse 17, listen to this one. James 5, 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. 3 years, 6 months. Now you take that one and bring it to the day. And the Lord stopped the rain for 3.5 years all over the world. Would that be a pandemic? Would that be a global problem? That would be a global. You let it stop raining for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, let alone a year. What are we going to do if it stops raining? We drink up all the water. And it would cause some issues. Listen to Genesis chapter 41, verse 56. Genesis 41, 56. You all right? You all right? You still with us? All right now. When the famine was spread all over all the face of the earth, then Joseph opened the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Verse 57, the people of the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth. That was the famine. All the crops had been eaten up, all of the food had been eaten up, and everybody was almost starving. And so it was a global thing that happened on the earth. And so I just put it, that is not all. There were other global things. There was a flood that flooded the whole land. Yes, and other things that happened in this world. And I just want to remind us that this pandemic, though it's terrible, it is terrible, but you need to know your Bible. And you need to know history, because sometimes we get disillusioned and we grow weary thinking, oh, what's going on? Yes, so many things that are going on. The second recorded sin in the Bible was the murder of an innocent man. And we see the protests that are going on all over our country because a man was literally murdered in public. And it is horrible, but it's not the first murder, church. It's not the first atrocity that's happened to somebody, but this one was recorded. You know that Cain killed his brother, and his brother had done nothing wrong. What a terrible, terrible sin. The children of Israel were oppressed for 400 years. You find that in Genesis chapter 15. They were oppressed for 400 years. Can't we relate to 400 years? Yes, they were oppressed for 400 years. Just because another race wanted to dominate them and control them. Let's bring it a little bit closer to home. When Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, he came to the shores of America. Yes, they came from Europe, and they say the Europeans, they were landlocked, and they were looking for opportunity somewhere else. And he found land in the Americas. And guess what? Somebody was here when they came. See, we need to know our history. Somebody was here when they came. Do you not know the scholars say that there were at least from 5 to 15 million? They call them indigenous people. Yeah, they call them indigenous. You know who they were talking. The word indigenous means native. They were native to the land. Guess what? They were here first. So if they were here first, the land should have been whose? Yeah. The people call them Indians now. They say by the time the Europeans, so they started off trying to get along with the indigenous people, but they were so different. They looked different. They were darker skinned. Their hair was different. Their culture was different. Their religion was different. And so they decided that we're going to dominate these Indians. And they did just that. Do you not know, they say, by the time all was done, the Indian Wars of the late 19th century, the Indian Wars, that even presidents participated in the domination of these Indians. And they were left with about 200 plus thousand of these indigenous men. What an atrocity it was. And many of you know the story of over 6 million plus Jews who were crucified, who were killed, who were brutally killed by a dictator named Adolf Hitler. And the world wants to forget some of these events in history that went on. And then you take the plight of Black Americans and the genocide of the Africans and Blacks, and their capture and their transfer from their native land into slavery. History tells us that from 17 million to 60 million Africans have been killed, brutally killed. And so the question is, what is going on, Brother Gary? And then another question is where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? I don't have all the answers. I read the Word of God and I ask the questions myself, but I do know this: from almost the beginning of time, we got a serious problem in this world. And that problem can be summed in a three-letter word. It's called sin. And Adam and Eve started it long ago. And sin passed on through the generations. Listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered to the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. All before us, all of us have sinned. And sin is the problem in this world. Listen to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continue. That was a time on this earth that God looked down, and every man on this earth had evil on his heart. And only one man was a just man on earth, and that was Noah. And God saved Noah and his family and the world, because the scripture says evil continued. And you know what? And it kept coming. And it still is here in full force even today. You know, I was reading, and you know the scripture tells us that even the earth suffers because of the effects of sin. Even the earthly world. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Stay with me there. Stay with me. That's some hope now. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. The Bible tells us that the earth is waiting on God to come rescue them. Listen to what else it says. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Listen to verse 21. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We're not the only ones that are waiting on the Lord to deliver us. Even the world, the earth we're living on, is tired of the abuse and tired of the treachery that man is bringing to it. Lord, have mercy. But you ask the question, where is God? I want you to absolutely know this from the Word of God. Listen to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 16. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. I know there's evil on the earth. But I watched these investigative shows sometime, and they show girls who are taken and beaten, and somebody gets away with it for 20 and 25 years. And sometimes it seems like they've gotten away. And sometimes I tell you what, some of them do, quote unquote, get away from man. But God got his eye on everything. And the scripture says, men, women, girls, boys, don't forget, God hates evil. Now, God created us in his image, after his likeness, and he created us with free will to make our own choices. That's how we are different from the animals. The animals have a nature they can't avoid, but we can make right and wrong choices for ourselves. Why? Because God gave us that ability, and God allows us to live and make our choices. Even Adam and Eve, when they sinned before they had children, according to the scriptures, it seems like. But God let them live till he was 960 plus years. He didn't punish him physically right away. And you would say, well, he let them get away with it. There are some things that's worse than a physical death. See, spiritual death is worse than physical death. Because we are separated from God. Listen to the other passages in Psalms chapter 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. That's what the scripture tells us. Seek peace and pursue it. Listen to Psalms 37, 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evildoing. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged because God sees and knows everything. Things that we don't know. Things that you don't know. And God has been dealing with evil for a long time. You ask the question, where is God? God is the same place he's been all the time. Yes. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? Notice there is no searching his understanding. So you see, one of the problems we have in this life, I have it too. You see, we want to tell God how to run his business. Yeah, we want to tell God who to punish and who not to punish and who to get and who not to get and when to do what you're going to do. God, it's time for you to get somebody. Well, listen to the word of God in Psalms chapter 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. I'm not going to change God's plan. God's plan has not changed. God is just merciful. He's long-suffering. He's trying to give some hard-headed folk a chance when we won't give them a chance. And so we can say God is good. But see, and so another question that comes up, and I know I've asked this question. Another question that comes up is, why does God, Brother Gary, allow evil and calamities to occur? That's a good question. Why does God allow it, Lord Jesus? I wish I knew. I can't answer that one fully. And the main reason I can't answer it is because I'm not qualified to answer that question. I'll tell you what, you not either. Some people try to answer it. See, for you to answer that question, you need to know everything about everything. See, you understand what I'm saying? See, you have to know what people are thinking. You'd have to know how people are living. See, listen to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45, 7. The one forming light and creating darkness, that's God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, causing well-being and creating calamity. The scripture says, I, the Lord, who does all these things. Don't get it wrong. God is in control. There's nothing that goes on that would go on if God didn't want it to go on. And I know that may trouble some of us because you say, well, why would God have all of this stuff going on? You see, God has a unique quality that nobody else has, as he knows everything at all times, for all times, for everybody. Listen to James, the book of Jeremiah, the prophet who wrote in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans, notice this, for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You see, God wants everybody to go to heaven. And he's not, the scripture said, he's not willing that any, what does any mean? See, God gives us the ultimate example of how to live without prejudice. God gives everybody the opportunity to be saved. He don't want nobody to be lost, but God is still in control, and he's not going to let anybody do what they want to do, why they want to do it, however long they want to do it, at all times. And so when something happens, God allows some things to happen. But you got to keep things in perspective. See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of the God is living, is active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. Notice this, and able to judge the thoughts and intents. Some people haven't killed nobody yet physically, but they've done it in their mind. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Some of us have some thought. Boy, you know what? But you know what? We can get on God's bad side by things that go on in our mind. Yeah, and see, you might not curse out loud, but you cursing in your mind. You might not have committed adultery. I have never committed adultery on my wife. Well, be careful, brothers and sisters. Amen, somebody. I'm just talking about God and where God. See, God sees things different. God knows our heart. He knows who's playing, who's faking, shaking, and playing games. God can discern every person's heart and every person's motives. And even the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he said, it is written, there is nobody righteous. No, listen to this now. No, not one. See, we need to stop playing God. We need to stop saying who deserves this and who deserves that. And you need to die and they need to die and she needs to die and they got to go and they just evil people. First, you need to check. Lord Jesus, we need to check ourselves. We're talking about God. Now, you asked the question. I'm trying to answer it with the word of God. You say, where is God? God, all of us, everybody, all of us, we ought to be saying, you know what? God is good. Amen. Because if we got what we deserve right now, you say white folks prejudice, you got a whole lot of black folks that's prejudice. You got a lot of good white folks. You got a lot of good black folks. You got a lot of good brown folks. You got a lot of bad. We need to let God handle his business. Yeah, we need to let God take care of God's business because God is merciful. God is good. The brother read in your hearing in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. You still with me? You haven't went to sleep yet? I'm trying to bring it down. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah prophesied this long ago. Nor your ways my ways. Remember, God has a plan, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You don't know what I'm thinking about, God says to us. You can't handle everything that's in my mind. You don't even, there are some folk who are guilty. You don't even know they're guilty. And I know they are guilty. Help us, Lord Jesus. Let me see if I can put this coronavirus in perspective before I end. I have some more to say. This may have to be part, another may have to be part two. Let me see if I can put this in perspective for us, because this coronavirus, I tell you, it has changed the world. I mean, got us staying at home. Would you believe that God would you believe that something so bad happened that kids can't go to school? Can't go to school. People can't go to work. We stand at home. We wearing masks. All of this stuff is going on. And this coronavirus. And so I say, oh, my goodness. What's the coronavirus? Let's put it in perspective, though. It's estimated that just over, every day, just over 150,000 people die. Every day. Now, I'm not downplaying the coronavirus. And that's a staggering number. It means that every hour, more than 6,000 people die. This includes death. It includes violent death. It includes disease. It includes famine, and many other causes of death. It's just a fact. This was before the coronavirus. The coronavirus may have added to that number a little bit, but the coronavirus, the current numbers right now, the last ones that I got, were right now all over the world, 6.3 million people have been infected. We 6.3 million people. The total deaths are 374,000 plus have died. But you know what? Listen, You know how death came into this world? I read it to you earlier. Death came into this world because of a three-letter word, and that's sin. See, sin, death passed, Adam passed death on to all of us because, what does the scripture say? All have sin. And so people have been dying a long time. The coronavirus has put this perspective that people been dying. And guess what? When the coronavirus, when they find a virus or cure for it, people still are going to die. Amen, somebody. Yeah, see, it's terrible. But there are things a whole lot worse than dying of physical death. See, we worry about the body dying. But there is a punishment much worse than death. Amen. And see, if you put it in perspective, you put it in perspective, this coronavirus can be a blessing to many. The scripture would say, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but unable to kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, my goodness. Great. It's getting very serious now. Listen to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Those of us who have been spared by the coronavirus, if there has never been a time that you need to find out, get to know, or seek the Lord, the time is. Yeah. Have mercy. Yeah. The young lady was asking the questions. This is the answer that I would give to you, that you remember all these things that are going on. God is still in control. And what you need to be doing right now is to get to know him even better. Because he's the only one that has the ultimate answer to all things. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. Let me see if I can bring it a little even deeper. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. He says this now. For we know him who said, see, we worry about all these people and we worry about the evildoers. And Lord have mercy, I just read to you that God hates evildoers and the evildoers are going to be taken care of. And we're going to try to do some things to try to corral some of those that we control, those that are in control. We have the policeman is trying to get them under control. And then we're trying to get the policeman under control. But the Bible says this, he says, vengeance is mine. That's what the scripture says. Vengeance is mine. It's mine because I know everything. I know who's right. I know who's wrong. Even when the courts get it wrong, I still know. And the Bible says, I will repay. That's what the scripture says. And then he goes on to say something else. He says, and again, the Lord will judge his people. You see, notice this. Coronavirus is horrible. I certainly hope they hurry up and find a cure for it, a vaccine or something for it. It's horrible. But you know what? Another day is going to be even more trying. Because one day there won't be a word about a vaccine, a cure, because it's going to be the last day. It's going to be when God judges everybody. And there won't be an aftermath when God judges everybody. Either you are going to be for God, on God's side, or you are not. And that judgment is going to be final with God. And there will be more lives, more souls claimed on that day than the coronavirus could ever think of taking out of this world. I know that still stings to some because you still wonder, well, why God got to do it this way? But you got to understand the big picture. See, I do know this, that some of the things that do occur after disasters, after great distress, after tribulations, after trials, one of the things I think you can attest to is that more people seek God. Amen. More people seek God. I know it's time for me to stop. More people seek God. Don't you see? I was having a conversation when I was in physical therapy, and we were laying on the couch. They have a couch. See, after you go through your bicycle and the other exercise, they take you to this. It's a table, and that's where they, when you have knee surgery, that's when I call it the death table. That's when they say, okay, Mr. Smith, come on, lay down at the table. The first time they got me, the first time I said, oh, okay, it's over with. I'm just finna relax. He said, okay, I got to bend your knee now. Range of motion table. And she said, I got to bend your knee. She grabbed my leg, and she said, okay, relax. She said, okay, relax. Relax, Gary. I said, oh, I can relax. I was just relaxing. And she grabbed my knees. And say, she said, now just relax. And she started, I said, oh, okay, hold up, I can't relax. Can you bend in it too? But on that table is where we had conversations. We had serious conversations about life. You know, one of them asked me about scriptures in the Bible. And she said, you know, all this stuff. She said, one of them said, you know, I'm just nervous about everything that's going on. And so you got these philosophical questions that people don't just ask, especially a stranger, somebody they haven't met. And so I say that there's somebody right now who you are seeking. You don't have all the answers. I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but the Word of God has the answers. So more people are seeking. So it's given us more opportunities to talk to somebody about the Lord. Yes, in our families, our children are asking the question, Daddy, Mama, what's going on? Why are people shooting people? What's going on? You know, during times like these, the best and the worst comes out in people.
Come on.
We see examples of heroism. We see unselfish examples of individuals who go into work and right in the middle of the battle, and they are giving their sacrificing their lives. And you see heroism, you see people helping people that they don't know, that the ordinary would walk by and say nothing to. And so you see all of this good that comes. Oh, you see bad, you see evil, you see the looters, you see the ones who try to take advantage. But it's just people identifying themselves to God who they really are. And guess what? God sees and knows all. But I think it's beautiful. I think even those who are not members of the body of Christ, we see that there are some good people in this world that we need to lead to the Lord. So at times like you wouldn't know if the trials were not happening, you wouldn't know the people even existed. Yeah, people are reevaluating their priorities in life. Husbands and wives are evaluating their marriages and recommitting themselves to their marriages and the way it used to be. And I'm glad we haven't sit at the table, Lord. And when the last time we ate a meal together? Yeah. Yeah. And say, hey, you know what? We needed this. Yeah. This trial brought that on. Yeah, we need it. It's our children. Our children just kicking their feet at the table. They just so happy. Oh, Daddy home. Ooh, Mama, you can cook. Oh, my goodness. You see all the money that is being spent. All the money that people with money are giving up their money to help other folk. Yeah. God has been good to them. All the millions of dollars that's been given in support. And then you see now our churches, our elders have been, our churches, now we churches are reverting back to the mission which God has called us to, and that is to make disciples and save disciples. The true mission, the core mission that God has given us, churches are saying, hey, look, we got to do more. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So yes, it's a trial, but God can make good things come out of a trial. Oh, my goodness. You all right? You all right? You all right? See, I, my wife, she tells me, she said, look, babe, you're not well yet. You're still healing. And she's right. We were out here on Friday at our sit-in drive-thru. Something we hadn't ever done before. And I know some were, what's that? Well, we were just trying to make a positive statement. Amen. The Lord's church, us together as Christians, that we do stand for justice. Why? Because God stands for justice, for righteousness, for peace, for safety, for love. And we were out here all of Waco Street, all down the street, holding up sign, love, peace, joy, just so happy, and just everybody fellowship, and we wanted to hug, but we couldn't hug. But it was beautiful. See, we beautiful. God's so wonderful. You're so wonderful. So good. And I was out there. I was just praising the Lord. I tell you what, but I overdid it Friday. And I got home Friday evening. And I'm telling you, every bone, every piece of me was hurt. And my wife said, I told you, you're not well. And I said, yes. Some things are worth hurting for, though. And I said all of that because I need to end, but I don't want to end. Barry, can I borrow 5 minutes? Those of you that's out there, can you give me 5 minutes? I've been gone a long time. Now, y'all that's coming behind me, don't do this now. Don't you in right? No. I gotta say something about this. It's I've been watching the protests and things that are going. Still protests still going on all around the city. It's touched my heart. Still touching my heart. Another question that I'm sure we want to ask is, what can Christians do to combat racism and abuse? And again, I tried to show you that it's not new. It's not new. There have been horrible things that have gone on. And let me just give you a couple of things, and I'm going to end and extend the invitation. First of all, we need to make sure that the problem is not us. Amen. Now, notice this. There's some chronological order in this. This comes first. You see, before you can blame, before you can point fingers, before you can talk about somebody, before you can say somebody's prejudiced, before you can say somebody is abusing, you need to make sure that it's not coming from you. Yeah, see, you don't have the right. You don't have the place. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Talking to the children of God. Yeah, see, I mean, you can't be cussing folk out and when you feel like it, and just because nobody is filming us. Yeah, we need to be right ourselves. And Jesus put it in plain, simple words in Luke chapter 6, verse 31. He said, treat others the way you want others to treat you. That's what Jesus said. Gary, Fred, Ray, Milton, Valerie, Mary, Karen, treat people the way you want folk to speak to you. Speak to them. You don't want nobody cursing you. Don't curse them. You want somebody to be fair to you? Be fair to them. You don't want nobody abusing you. Don't abuse nobody with your mind, with your body, with your words. Amen. Boy, that'll solve a whole lot in this world, wouldn't it? Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah. You wouldn't have to go any further. Yeah, you wouldn't have to go any further. I could elaborate. I could give a whole nother sermon on it. Number two is this. Listen. Those of us that are blessed with gifts to speak to, organized to serve, need to use them to help the less fortunate. See, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one has received a special gift. See, some of us don't need to be talking to nobody in front of no camera. We need to stay behind because we don't have that gift. But some of us have gifts. Some of us have talent. Some of us have education. He says, employ it, put it to work in serving one another as good stewards of good managers of the manifold grace of God. If we have the gift to help folk. Our gifts are given to us by God, used to minister. Minister means to serve. We have gifts in the church. Yeah. Yeah, use our gifts to serve. Whoever speaks is to do so as the one who's speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as the one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that God in all things may be glorified. All of our gifts are given to us to use to minister to people so God can be glorified. It makes the world a better place. It makes the world a better place. Yeah. And we do need to speak up for righteousness. Yeah, we need to speak up for righteousness. Yeah, Yeah. Psalms chapter 33, verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice, God. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. God loves when he sees me treating somebody right. God loves when he sees you, whether you are a judge, a police officer, you're working in the court, you're an attendant at a bank. He loves to see when you are treating people fairly. But he also sees the evil. And he sees the wrong that has been done. Psalms chapter 45, verse 7. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. God loves it when we're treating people right. And then the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. See, we're the tools. We are the tools that God uses to make this world a better place. We're created in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, God put us on this earth for good works. God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So you said, well, Brother Gary, what can I do? If it's a good work, we can do it. Some people question even us being out on the sidewalk holding up signs. If there was a good work, we can do it. In the name of the Lord. Sometimes in the past, we probably have not done enough to speak up for righteousness and justice. If Christians can't do it, then who gonna do it? Amen, somebody. But we need to do all things in a Christ-like manner. You see, when we do all things in a Christ-like manner, God gets all the glory. When we do things in a Christ-like manner, more people are going to be led to Christ. Because they are going to say, well, who are those people? What do they know? What do they have? Whatever they have, I want it. Can I extend an invitation to someone who's out there right now? You may be in the audience right now. You may be on television. You may be sitting in your bed. You may be on the street corner. You might even be in here in this building right now. God has a wonderful invitation that he has for all people. Scripture tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, this is the answer to that question that you asked. This is the answer for all times. This is the answer that will save our souls. It will save this world because it's the answer to our sin problem in the world. Okay, can I drop this in real quick before I close? Is that I hope and pray that new legislation is drawn that is going to make us get along better and make us act right and be right and treat people right. But I hope you're not dependent on legislation to save this world. I hope you're not. Laws need to change, amen. But I tell you what, more than laws need to change. See, the hearts of men and women need to change. That's where the true change comes. We have been some laws, you know. Now they have a law that policemen are supposed to wear this the cameras, you know, the body vest cam. You remember when they made that law after a trial went on, something went on, and said, now we're gonna put cameras on all the policemen. Well, guess what? If the policeman's heart not right, he's not gonna turn on the camera. Amen, somebody. Yeah, he'll twist the camera. I'll say the camera not working. Centuries ago, there was a law that a Jew could not crucify another Jew. Guess what the leaders did? They went around the law and had our Savior killed, even with the law in place. So we need legislation, but we need to change the hearts of men and women all over this world. And we need to start with the Lord's people. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but you know what? On this side, there are going to be some trials. You know why there are going to be some trials? Because there's some evil folk in this world. Some people are going to be misused and some people are going to be abused and some people are going to be innocently hurt. But on this side, if that happens to any of us, that's not the worst thing that could happen to us. What we need to be more concerned about is our soul. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God made it plain and simple for us all. This is our invitation to you if you're not in a right relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And we're preaching, trying to preach the word of God to you this morning. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That's what we want. See, listen, I'm telling you that some people are protesting, say, black people say, I want my reparation, I want my 40 acres and a mule. I tell you what, you might be waiting on that. You might be waiting on that. If they give us some, that's good, but you know what? I want my reward from the Lord. Amen, somebody? That's the one we want. And God is rewarder of those who diligently, on this side of the earth, we're going to have to hang in there. We're going to have to stay in there. Count it all joy when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We're going to have some endurance. And some of us are going through that trial right now. But you got to stay under that trial. Don't give up. Don't give in to evil in the wrong way. Stay in God's way. And God will reward all of us with a reward that will be like none other. And if you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, if you're willing to confess the sweetest name that you could ever confess, if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, this is how we get into Jesus Christ, through the word of God. And after you're baptized into Jesus Christ, God adds you to his family, to his church, to the ecclesia, where all the saved are. And when Jesus comes again, no matter what's happening in this world, no matter what's going on in this world, the coronavirus protests, whatever is going on in this world, he's going to make all things right. Everything will be right. All our problems will go away. And until that time, we're going to have some problems in this life. If you're here today, if you're at home, and you're searching. You say, "Brother, I want the truth." You've heard the truth today. If you've been hesitating, say, "Well, I've been thinking about it. I want to give my life to Christ." You need to stop thinking about it, and you need to do it now. You need to do it today while you still have blood running in your veins. And we're here. We're here. Some of the elders are here. We have water that's ready, and we will stay here if you want to come. If you call, is somebody on the phone right now? Somebody on the phone right now? And if you call 713-672-2654. 713-672-2654. If you call right now, call right now. You may be a young person. You may be a husband, a wife. If you understand, if you're old enough to understand, you need to respond to the gospel right now. You don't have to wait till even the end of service. Call right now. Come on down here. We got some masks. I have my mask. I just don't have it on right now. Here's my mask. We have some gloves. We have clothes that's ready for you. If you want to be baptized today, you can be baptized today. We'll let you in. Come on down here right now. Somebody drive a teenager. Come to be baptized. Say, "Why, but we're here." You sound like you being so urgent. You know, one of the things that one of the deeper understandings I got from my some people might go, "Brother, you just had a little trial." It might be little to you, but it was big to me. Amen. You know, one of the things that I got from my trial these past 3 months, I have a deeper gratitude. I just shared that with you a little bit earlier, but I have more of a sense of urgency. What do you mean, Brother Gary? I feel like I don't have no time to waste. No time to waste, no time for food. I don't mind having fun, but I'm taking life. I'm 60, and I want to hit the ground running. I want to do the Lord. I want to do the things that are important. I don't have time for games right now. And I don't want to scare anybody. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. But at the same time, maybe you need a sense of urgency. Maybe that's what the Lord is trying to do right now. Come to Jesus right now. If you need us to pray for you, send in the prayer requests. Those of you that's on Facebook Live, send in the prayer requests, and we'll pray for you. I love you so much. Please, please, please forgive me for going so long. I forget, normally don't preach this long, but I'm just heavy and full today, and I'm just thanking the Lord. I know I might pay for it tonight, but I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, for his goodness. Can you say with me, all of you that's on Facebook right now, can you say with me, God is good?
God is good.
Brother Isaiah, lead us in a song, and let me stop. Thank you. God bless
Jesus
you.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Sing, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Sing that again. Say, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.